This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
As if they don't have too much on their plates, the Kings of Combat Sports Podcast, John and Wade, they talk about the things they did that day, the land of the work of Triple H. Rewind to SmackDown, 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 Rewind to SmackDown.
Rewind to SmackDown. We are live, and we are about to get into Friday's festivities at the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee. And Wei, first up, want to alert everybody to a show that we have gotten some feedback on, and that is our Rewind Away covering Bret Hart's heel turn of 1996 into 1997, as we had a special playlist constructed by Jesse from the Six, who joins us for a nice chat about this time period. But it's you and I going through various matches, promos, and other segments involving Bret Hart. And this was kind of a nice mix of different material from WWF in this time period. And instead of kind of the fallout of Bret Hart's 1997, this is kind of the whole lead up to the formation of the Hart Foundation and really setting up what is a tremendous summer of programming for the company based around a heel Bret Hart and his family.
Yeah. We often for Rewind Away talk about like singular shows and, you know, might talk about a singular match on that show, but rarely do we get the opportunity to talk about an entire story arc. And in this case, one of the most, in my opinion, significant character arcs of the 90s in Bret Hart's, you know, slow heel turn. For me as a fan, especially, you know, somebody who grew up with babyface Bret, I was very curious to see exactly what the transformation was between WrestleMania 12, when I stopped watching, to what we ended up seeing here with this US versus Canada storyline. So thank you, Jesse, again. A lot of great feedback for the podcast and also for his curation of this particular playlist that you could find in the show link. Thank you to everybody who listened to it. You can either subscribe to the Post Wrestling Cafe for $6 a month to access it, or you can get these podcasts a la carte for $3 if you just want to listen to this one show.
Yes, we are aware that some people, they don't want to make the big commitment with us. You know, mm-hmm. They don't want to put a ring on it. That's okay. We just take
us out to a nice dinner.
That's it. $3. We're a cheap date. So yeah. You can check that out as well. Also, Wei was able to extract the audio from my recent feature on the history of the Ultimate Fighter. That is up there on the YouTube channel if you want to listen to that. That is one of our outlets that is still going strong, the YouTube channel.
The forum not doing so well, but YouTube is still going strong, yes.
Yes. What was more heartbreaking, the forum or our 2010 documentary disappearing? Do you remember that day?
It disappearing? What exactly do you mean?
I'll tell you later. You were livid this day. I remember this one very clearly.
Disappearing?
It was really? On YouTube, and then it was off YouTube.
Oh, was I that upset about it?
Yes, you and I were both upset.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm honestly not that upset. I'm not even not that upset about the forum, to be honest. Like, so for people who missed the XL edition, we've been having some forum issues. It's essentially been corrupted, and we basically have to start fresh. I don't mind starting fresh, you know, as people have seen with post wrestling. You know,
yeah, the forum was taking bribes. We learned of it, and we had to, you know, we had to kick it out of office. So, folks. Just it's in rehab. Okay. We will have a comeback.
It's beautiful day, you know, series of vignettes. It's going to come back in the Rumble and it's going to win. It's going to main event WrestleMania.
It's moving to Birmingham, Alabama permanently for its rehab. Also, if you are tuning in now for the free portion, we did an XL edition of the news, a lot to go through. We chatted about, the pretty awful details involving Bear Boulder, Thomas Wansaw of AEW, part of the Iron Savages team. He has been let go by AEW after he was arrested last month and is facing a charge of battery by strangulation of his fiance. So we go through that story as well. The ongoing WWE releases, including Cedric Alexander, AOP, Paul Ellering, Blair Davenport, and learning that Sonya Deville's contract will not be renewed once it expires, as as well. Kind of a big discussion on all of those talents and just, you know, potential landing spots and their WWE tenure. Kevin Owens re-signing with the company, and then Dominic Cruz retiring. A pretty, I think, significant off-the-cuff statement, if it was so off-the-cuff, by Ari Emanuel on the Pat McAfee show. Also, in that interview on Pat McAfee, out of nowhere, Ari just tells Pat, hey, Elimination Chamber, I'm hearing some big things are going to be happening. This is Ari Emanuel. Really, really pushing
specifically,
that Elimination Chamber.
Specifically to Pat? Like, about Pat? What is that supposed to mean?
You could draw that conclusion that Pat might be doing something of significance on that show, but I don't know. I'm not good at reading Ari Emanuel's eyes.
Okay. You got your Ari Emanuel impression yet? You've been
no, he's not as distinct. If it was his counterpart, I think I would have just recited the entire interview. All that plus Nikki Bella talking about her future in WWE, all of that covered in the news. So if you want to jump up to the XL portion, you get the news after every Raw, every Dynamite, every SmackDown, along with your feedback and calls for tonight's show. So check it out. And this month we have got another Rewind Away dropping where we will chat NXT TakeOver New Orleans. We've got coverage next weekend of AEW Grand Slam Australia. Karen and Bruce are back next week for New Beginning in Osaka. And next Thursday, to be determined, we need to get your questions somehow because they're all gone. All the letters have been burned, and I don't know. This question, maybe it's just going to be me and Wei. Maybe I will have to ask Away for an hour.
We might do some of that. We'll also be sending out a Patreon email for just asking you guys for your questions so that we might hopefully have a show.
All right, tonight we are getting into SmackDown in front of 8,681, according to WrestleTix, and we get a lengthy Royal Rumble recap and outcomes with his new T-shirt, WrestleMania main event Jey Uso, a.k.a. the Sandman, as he comes out. This had to have been 10 minutes, this entrance.
Okay, so he's got the shirt now, WrestleMania main event Jey Uso. Does that not assure that he has to end one of the nights?
Oh, there's nothing that's an assurance. But I think more and more that, again, I'm just looking at this Rumble win and the follow-up on TV. This guy feels like he should be closing at least night one.
Like, it would be a statement. It would be a statement, especially if like he's sharing that one of those cards with, like, I don't know, like a CM Punk or John Cena, you know? But yeah, I agree.
Well, he comes out, the place is going wild for him, and then he invites Cody Rhodes out. And Jay, he's got two choices. He can either stand across from Cody at WrestleMania, or he can stand next to him as the new champion. And Cody goes over his injuries from the ladder match. He's got fluid on his elbow. His hip is out of alignment, but says how proud he is of Jay winning the Royal Rumble. Like how this guy, like, his hip is out of alignment, but he's cleared to go.
So Kathy Kelly, sorry, it was Jackie on the post show, was talking about a number of injuries that was preventing Cody from being in the press conference, and this is sort of the extent. This feels to me kind of like a John Cena type of, like, press conference, you know, excuse for not having this guy wrestle for an extended amount of time.
And they're doing this with Roman as well. That would seem, you know, it keeps him off of the February show, or sorry, the Elimination Chamber show.
Do you find it fascinating that they feel the need to explain these absences of your top stars? Like, because I don't know if that's a level of detail that they would have, you know, went for in the past. Like, if Roman's not around, he's just not around. I don't know how many people were questioning it.
Yeah, I guess they're trying to give you a coherent story because it's natural. Like, it's not just another show he's missing. It's he loses the Rumble. Why is he not in the Elimination Chamber? So the injury... Right. It makes a storyline reason to keep him out of the chamber. So Cody, he needs to go to WrestleMania and he has to win. That's his new story. Okay. He's getting pretty greedy.
He needs to complete this run, this title run, by winning at WrestleMania.
Okay. Well, he says, we can go out and have fun tonight, but if you choose me, then that's the last time we can do this. So they can go get drunk one more time tonight on Beale Street. Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga come out, and maybe it's just my attention just wandering, but there was a fan in the front row who had a sign, and this is what they thought. You know, I'm going to wrestling tonight. Camera has a pretty good chance of grabbing my sign. Jesus is the OTC. The original tribal chief, Jesus. Put those ones in the air.
Sure. Yeah.
Buddy Christ. Yes. It's just like, what are, this was the sign you decided to
is
go
there
for.
A rule for signs you know in wrestling? Is the rule simply not to get attention and to get people on podcasts potentially
issue. I mean, it's now blasphemous for Roman to,
you know, they have those sign making stations at these live events now, right?
It's not surprising, like they've been pushing this on TV at times, like they are encouraging you to bring your signs more and more. Like, if you're going to be spending $400, wouldn't you want your vision to be impaired for most of it?
you better hope that it's in the service of a clever sign, I suppose.
Fatu says that Cody took that title from his family last year. His family needs that title back. And if anyone is going to bring it back, it won't be Jay. What a description and comment from Jacob Fatu, given how this show was going to end. He didn't even say, I'm going to take it. He just said, it's not going to be you, but our family needs to take back this title. And with that, a fight ensues, and the babyfaces clear the ring. Now, I will fully admit, there are times I miss various announcements. Was there an announcement of this tag match coming off this segment?
I believe there was, yes.
Okay. I must have missed it, because I was in that part where it was 10:15. And then they finally put up this graphic. I had no idea that this match was happening until it basically was happening. So that's on me then for missing it. So there you go. That's our main event. We go to our first qualifying match of the show. Bianca Belair, Piper Niven with Naomi and Chelsea Green in the respective corners. And these two had like that program back in, I want to say, 2022. And I always thought Niven was a very good opponent for Bianca Belair, especially for the struggle of getting her up for the KOD, and that's what they focused on here. She couldn't lift her on the first try, and Niven gives the Uranagi out of the corner, hits a Vader bomb, and then runs into the buckle and takes a kick, and then Belair gets her up for the KOD, winning in 8 minutes and 4 seconds, and Belair joins Liv Morgan in the Elimination Chamber match. But I thought a good match here. I enjoy the chemistry that these two have, and it's been a while since they've had a singles match.
I agree. They're almost, Bianca lifting a larger opponent is just going to be impressive no matter what. No matter what the storyline is leading up to it, no matter just like how hot the characters might be, just the visual of seeing somebody of Belair size deliver a KOD to somebody of Niven size is always going to get the crowd, and they did a big build up to the spot and got a great reaction coming out of it.
Nick Aldis is with our newest members of the SmackDown roster, just getting in there at the deadline way, Katana Chance and Caden Carter.
Yeah. I guess this is referencing a scene that did take place on Raw, I believe, of Aldis talking to them. So they're paying that off, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess the outfits gave it away all those months ago.
Yeah. You always hope that moving brands somehow refreshes and gives them a fresh coat of paint, and that they might actually see their potential. But I don't know. I don't know if I have high hopes, especially since like we've had call-ups that result in nothing. So we'll see what it means for Chance and Carter.
It's a coin toss. Like, on the one hand, they're going to the show that has more than enough time to be introducing new acts. At the same time, it's Mania season. It's a very tough time to kind of start characters from scratch, and I don't know how much of a priority Chance and Carter are going to be for in a division where I mean the tag titles, like, you kind of got to figure out where the Belair Naomi program is going, and I don't imagine it's the end point is these two.
No, unfortunately not. It's a weak division, you know, and it would be one thing if like these two were kind of known as singular stars. They're actually one of the few tag teams that are actually just a tag team.
A tag team.
But that also means that they're going to be extremely limited in airtime and also just anything, really.
Carmelo Hayes walks in, and Aldis wants him to face someone on Raw, and at first Hayes is reluctant, but then it's revealed to be Akira Tozawa, and there's actually a reason for this, because Hayes took him out, and Nick Aldis said with a straight face, you cost him a potential WrestleMania main event, and Hayes is going to take the match tonight, which he calls a layup, and Yes, so that sets up our match. Listen, they had a reason for this match, and I was not upset to get at least this is Akira Tozawa's like one time a year he gets like 5 minutes of wrestling in a singles match. There was a clip for LFG that I'm sure they're going to be ramping up the promotion for, which debuts next Sunday. And boy, one of the clips comes out. I think Bully Ray attacks one of the contestants. So this is going to be some fun television.
Is that right?
DIY is out. They brag about.
Will you be watching LFG?
LFG, I am going to check out. I am at least going to check out the first week's show. I'm going to check out the first week of LFG, and I'll probably check out the first episode of Evolve, and we'll see from there.
Yeah, I'm interested in LFG. I mean, I'm sort of a sucker for like documentary style, just really anything to do with wrestling. And I'm curious to see how Undertaker is in this sort of role.
Him and Bubba are exactly as you would envision.
Oh, okay. Well, you say this as?
I mean, you probably have an idea of what they're. I mean, they're just like they're the hardened veterans that are going to be. You know, they're playing. Like the role Taz did in the first season.
There are archetypes in Tough Enough. You know, it's the tough bully who's sort of like the person, the drill sergeant type, you know, whether it be like a Hugh Morris or Taz, or I guess in this case, Bully. And then you have the leader with the inspirational speeches in Mark Calloway. So curious to see what that's like.
Can't wait. You know, here's your guns to be going to the locker room with. DIY come out, they brag over their 2 out of 3 falls win over Motor City Machine Guns. They're the best tag team in the world, and they respect the Motor City Machine Guns. As independent legends, you were our favorite tag team 11 years ago. And they ask for everyone to stand up for a moment of silence for the Machine Guns and their tag title run. When Pretty Deadly interrupt, they have now just dropped all the comedy. They are a serious team, and all this comes out to make a non-title match where if Pretty Deadly win, they'll get a future match, and DIY are not ready for this because they are in their street clothes. And that would take us to this impromptu match because, let's remember, Nick Aldis, he books he starts booking at around 7:30 for the show.
In the 3-hour era especially, he just wings it.
That's part of the appeal of the show. Anything can happen, including a 3-minute TV match between these two tag teams. So, again, it's... Like, they're still wearing, like, the Pretty Deadly gear, and they're doing, like, the double-team maneuvers, but, like, they're just a serious team now. And Ciampa ends up with Elton Prince, and they have an uppercut exchange. Ciampa does a roll-up and grabs the rope, but then Wilson drills him with a knee, and this allows Prince to reverse, and he grabs the rope, pinning Ciampa and setting up a tag title match down the road.
Yeah. I would say pretty standard fare. You know, I also feel like they're actually kind of like moving this along faster than I thought. I thought they would kind of play with like the, you know, build up of Pretty Deadly finally actually breaking free and like building up to maybe a bigger reaction. But we already got the match here. We're going to get a title match probably, you know, in the next few weeks. So just kind of burning through this, and it's okay. You know, I think... Obviously, having them play serious people is better for, you know, a title challenger babyface team in Pretty Deadly. But you don't want to run the risk of basically exchanging a serious side for maybe more of generic personas. You know, like what kind of made them attractive and maybe even entertaining to even a babyface sort of like appeal? Is there comedy? Is there like sort of sense of humor and just their entertainment value? Sometimes when you're getting an act to be serious, you just kind of strip them of everything and you're kind of not left with much else.
What if they get like a hard-nosed mentor in Bully Ray to come in?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to suggest Paul Ellering, who's free now, but
no.
A Bully Ray Pretty Deadly storyline? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Pretty Dudley.
Very good.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL, and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Plus, 2 editions of Rewind Away. We will revisit Bret Hart's heel run in the WWF NXT TakeOver New Orleans from 2018. Plus, we have coverage of AEW Grand Slam Australia, New Beginning in Osaka, an Ask Away, Ask Us Anything mailbag show, and of course, Captain America 4 and Collision Course every single Saturday night. All that and more at postwrestlingcafe.com. The Miz is praising Andrade and says that you could learn from me. And Andrade explains, I did learn how to beat you. And that was Andrade's entire utilization on our three-hour show.
I really thought that they would hint towards Zelina and Andrade getting back together. I think a lot of people might have suspected that with Zelina's move, but no hints for that at all. Zelina kind of did her own thing. Andrade did his own.
Yeah, by the loosest definition of their own thing. They walked by another human being on this show and were on screen for 30 seconds. So, yeah. They're really busy doing their own thing.
They're going to run out of options, obviously, at some point. Okay, and they're just going to end up back together. All right?
Cody walks by, and The Miz says that they're old school. I'll always have your back, Cody. Cody explains, I don't need you to have my back. And Miz is putting over that this year it's all about Jay's story, and I wonder if you'll still be Jay's friend if he picks you, because it would be a hell of a story if Jay chooses you. And Cody is, I guess, concerned about this.
I think they're trying to establish that, like...
frame on The Miz, by the way, Wei. Some of your finest work here.
This was not my screen cap, but no. I think they're just trying to continue the thread that Owens established in, like, maybe driving the pressures of being champion up very high for Cody and showing that he's under stress due to the pressure. He's losing friendships because of the pressure. At least I think that's what Cody's trying to evoke through this sort of acting.
He needs a visit from Arn before WrestleMania.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Drew McIntyre comes out. He is back on SmackDown. And he calls Damian Priest a coward for how he eliminated him. For all this that they, you know, for all of this about, you know, not enough attention was on this elimination. Boy, did they didn't even replay the elimination on this show.
So it's a funny sort of like... maybe even topic to discuss, because if you're to maybe believe the sort of chatter on the internet, there was somewhat of a botch in the elimination. I mean, you rewatch it. It's fine. It's perfectly fine. He bumps into LA Knight. So what? Like they still made the faces at Damian Priest afterwards. Maybe they felt that it was imperfect and therefore they chose not to air it. I don't know.
There's stuff that's screwed up that's like, okay, you cannot replay that. This was not one of those instances. And for something that this is obviously going to be a big program on SmackDown, I think at the very least they could have made a bigger deal out of it, but they didn't. But it was mentioned. So he left the Royal Rumble pissed, sounded pretty legit, and he went home to his big house and his hot wife, and he asked himself, why am I so angry all the time? Well, it's because Raw is a toxic environment, and Adam Pearce had no idea what he's doing. I needed a solution. And then Nick Aldis called him. Now, this was after the Royal Rumble. Was this not after the transfer window had closed, when we had explained it closed over the weekend?
Yes.
Okay, well, that aside, the transfer window was allotted a few extra hours.
Maybe they meant, like, you know, by the midnight on the day of the Rumble.
Maybe he could have explained that, you see, the transfer window closed on Sunday, but I flew to Tokyo, and then I flew back, and I added a day, and I could make it into the expired transfer window deadline.
He used the Hogan time machine, yeah.
So he's known Nick Aldis since they were kids, and he's going to be allowed to be himself here on SmackDown. So he says, I'm here for Cody Rhodes, but more specifically his title. And then he's cut off by Jimmy Uso, who cut a pretty good promo here, saying, Drew, you sound like an ex-girlfriend, and you've got to get through me and LA Knight first. And Drew responds, you know, the old me would have got angry, but I'm a different man now, Jimmy. He did such a great natural job here of mistaking the two. He just said, you two, I always mistake you two. But maybe you'd have been there first if you had said yeet before him.
Maybe.
Maybe. And Jimmy explains, I can say yeet. I can say no yeet. And I don't live in the past. I'm here in the present to kick your ass, and I'm going to WrestleMania. And I did not sense too much faith in Jimmy Uso fulfilling this promise from the audience, but he was going to make a go of it. And then out comes LA Knight, and he's got a promo too. He's got no love for Jimmy Uso after Jimmy cost him the title last year. These guys, these baby faces don't forget, or heels. He then looks into the camera and wants to affect change before he dies, and explains to men out there that it's okay to cry and let it out. And this was like a serious message before he gets back into his delivery. That there is a line, though, and Drew, you've been crying like a baby. In fact, I just heard someone in the crowd call you Drew McIncryer, which this crowd did try to get a chant going during the match. Didn't quite take off. I think it's just one too many syllables in there. But
yeah,
a clever line, London. Nonetheless,
so the whole like looking into the camera and like giving this sort of like heartfelt message about wanting to enact change was interesting, and hearing the rest of the promo, it almost made this portion kind of feel like maybe like he had the initial promo with like the McIncryer line and just basically making fun of Drew for being a crybaby. Standards and Practices got hold of it and basically inserted this whole like paragraph of like making sure that he wasn't offending, or at least like not creating maybe a bad impression about like men crying. So please insert this.
I pray so much that Way's theory is accurate so that we can say that was in the same week Dana White explained that the most important speech to protect is hate speech, and there was the concern about offending anyone that cries.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What a dichotomy of these two companies.
Who knows? Like, it just might have been just part of LA Knight's promo to maybe, I don't know, create contrast or something.
Well, he says he's going to end Jimmy and Drew's WrestleMania hopes, but then he realizes, oh, I got to get my stuff in, and does his catchphrase, and they just cut to Drew. I found this amusing. I thought this was very funny. And listen, if you knew the story, then maybe it added something for this match. These two clearly wanted to lean in on this, because in like the opening minutes of this match, they try to do what feels like an uncooperative spot where they're just trying to brawl with each other. But I mean, it really does tell you sometimes that you might think that something is a big deal online, and it really is not as big as you probably think it is.
Oh, no. Yeah. And I feel like you're still going to get speculation about like whether or not it was all a work to build up to the SmackDown match.
I don't think this was the whatever idea that they had in mind, was this big, the triple threat that no one will expect.
In any case, it doesn't appear to be any issue at this point.
No, and they had some fun with it, so c'est la vie. The match itself, man, Drew was really good in this match. At one point, Knight is ramming both their heads into the table that Joe clearly must have to identify every time as our new reinforced table. And then Wade chimes in, "We love this new table." And Drew then pulls out a table from underneath the ring, but then puts it back, and the crowd is livid at this. Great spot here is Drew is in the Tree of Woe. Knight leaps to the top to go superplex Jimmy, but Drew does the big sit-up, suplexing LA Knight, who superplexes Jimmy. Just great spot here. The blunt force trauma gets blocked by Jimmy into a spinebuster by Drew, and then a claymore to Jimmy gets stopped by a super kick, and it ends where Charles Robinson gets pulled to the floor by Drew, breaking up a cover after the Uso splash. And as Knight regains control, he goes for the BFT. When Drew returns, Claymore's Knight in the back of the head, but in taking the Claymore, finishes the BFT, and Drew pins LA Knight. So it is Drew joining John Cena and CM Punk. So we have half the field for the men's match.
Good match. I thought it was a good finish, and what was, I think, a very good debut for Drew on SmackDown. You know, got a chance to not cut the promo, entered himself into a pretty star-studded Elimination Chamber already, and I think already he feels very well integrated into the SmackDown roster. I mean, he's already in this one episode started something with Jimmy Uso and LA Knight. Also, talked about Cody, you know, and setting up his long-term goal of wanting to regain that championship, maybe specifically from Cody. And of course, we also have the Damian Priest elimination from Rumble to address as well. So he's got programs already.
And then we go to Damian Priest, who's with Saxton, and he makes fun of Drew. If he's upset, he's probably complaining on the internet. And then in walks Braun Strowman, who reminds him that you're in a qualifier with me and Jacob Fatu next week, and I am a wild animal and a monster. which are two very different things. But that's our triple threat next week, and probably a good chance.
They're not that different, you know. So certain, like a grizzly bear, can you call a grizzly bear a monster?
It's it depends. Is it a
ferocious grizzly bear? Yeah.
Yeah, personally, I think that this probably gets Priest into the Elimination Chamber with Drew. That would be one avenue to go, because I could see Jacob Fatu just having something separate now that, we'll get into the closing segment of this.
Well, right now with Cena, Punk, Andrew, like, they're only picking people that are former champions or at least have the potential of, you know, being seen as a champion. And yes. And Priest would, you know, qualify more.
And we got Logan Paul against Rey on Monday, so... So that's five, and then there'll be one more qualifier in there. They recap the attack by Kevin Owens on Sami Zayn, and we're going to the car. And there is Kevin Owens, who shows off the scars on his face. I've got trauma in my neck and spine that I'm going to have to live with forever from that ladder match. And Sammy, I blame you for just standing there and watching Cody try to end my career. And not just my career, I think he was trying to end my, and he can't even get out the words. The man was trying to murder him, is what Kevin is trying to infer, and says that you just stood there watching this happen to me, and then in the Royal Rumble, you're running to the aid of Roman Reigns. Sammy, you're a horrible friend, a disgusting human being. I will never forgive you, and I will make you pay. And Joe Tessitore says, you know, Kevin Owens has said some horrible things in the past that are not grounded in reality. And here's another one. It's like, I don't know, man. He made some fine points here.
Did you really? Come on.
If that happened to me, I always put things in the perspective of if you did this to me, and I'd be furious. Way if I took an Alabama slam through a ladder and you had the opportunity to stop like Damian Abraham from doing that. Like, maybe he's a friend of yours, but I would not stand for it.
Did you sign up, though, to engage in physical combat with Damian Abraham? You know, via addendum or whatever. Via addendum. They made a big deal out of it.
Yeah. Okay. What was the addendum is still my question. That's my lockbox for 2025.
Addendum morphed into a contract at some point.
But Tessitore also informed us Zayn has spinal compression, extreme nerve damage, and he will be out indefinitely. Indefinitely being probably 3 weeks until Elimination Chamber would be my thought.
Man, if I've got a ticket to one of these like shows in the next few weeks, I think I'm pretty upset. Look at all these people that are on the injured list here. You know, Roman's gone. Cena's off filming a movie. Cody, you know, I guess he'll still appear, but he's
maybe Ari Emanuel had the same thought, and he's like, I gotta put some spark into Elimination Chamber. I gotta push it on the McAfee show.
Cody is battling through his injuries. Where's your excuse, Sami Zayn?
Yeah, I thought this was a great promo from Kevin Owens.
I think they're as good as ever. I'll be honest, though. I kind of wanted a little bit more logic in why he hates Sami Zayn so much.
Okay. I didn't mind this at all. Like, he's being selfish that here was Zayn. He was right there ringside. He could have stepped in and stopped it. We had talked about you having my back.
But instead of blaming Sami, why not blame the guy who actually committed the act?
Because this is supposed to be a guy that he's got his logic, but it's flawed, and you're supposed to have that response that, yeah, this guy's absolutely.
I totally get it. And in the end, it works because he's a heel and flawed. You can pretty much explain most things. I guess, like, I wanted that maybe extra level of believability if it does exist for something like this. And maybe I'm sort of a minority, opinion for that.
You know what he could have said is that my contract was supposed to go into effect the next day, and now I'm damaged goods, and WWE is pulling my contract.
Or he could say, now they've extended my contract because I'm injured.
Yeah, they've frozen me under my old deal. Akira Tozawa and Carmelo Hayes, they had a nice match for the time they had. It was just no one was really going to get too invested in it in this match. Hayes came out, cut a promo on him, calling Tozawa Cody Rhodes after being left in the dryer too long. Tozawa had to get his stuff in. Immediately hits a Rana Pescado to the floor, and then Hayes just wears him down with his arm submission. It's I don't need this countdown on Netflix of when they come back from commercial. I know exactly when they are at commercial for these matches. It is painfully obvious when they are going to commercial and how the action just comes to a grinding halt.
So I've actually been watching the shows on delay, and when you watch on delay, it actually cuts the commercials out.
I know. I start late too, but if I catch up, then I am in this part. Because, yeah, when you are behind, like, you can't even have the option of watching through the commercial. They just pass it by automatically, and you can't mm-hmm. even go back and watch it in between.
Yeah.
They realize this is the fat that we can cut from the
so
show.
So there's a countdown clock now that
if,
they put
if
in?
If you are up to date, yeah, it'll have a three-minute countdown clock of when they're coming back
like
from
break. In the corner?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Cool. Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, it ends with a reverse springboard DDT by Carmelo. Nothing but net gets the clean win, a rare win for Carmelo Hayes on television.
Yeah, I don't really know what this was necessarily meant to achieve other than to just, like, I don't know, tie up a loose end from
to
the
confirm
Rumble.
That this guy did not deserve to go to WrestleMania.
Okay. Yeah.
No update on Roman Reigns. Some poor reporting here by Tessa Torn Barrett. And then Jerry Lawler was showing in the crowd. And then R-Truth is helping Tozawa backstage, just drops him on the floor as he sees Jey Uso, congratulates him on winning the King of the Ring. And then Cody enters asking Jey, did you decide about WrestleMania? And Jey was like, yeah, you know what? We've got like 70 days till Mania. I'm going to make my decision in front of this garage backstage in buried in hour 3 of SmackDown. Yeah, this is where I'm going to announce it. Thanks, Cody. I'm going to give it the weekend.
Yes. Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chalk-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Charlotte comes out. And she asks if it, this was very funny, coming off of Monday and then Tuesday, two very different reactions. And she says, so what's it going to be tonight, Memphis? Do you love me or do you hate me? And they decided they hated her. She says, when you boo, what I hear is money. And I live rent-free in everyone's mind. I'm wrestling's obsession. You're obsessed with my looks, my titles, and my last name. She says, I entered the Rumble with 29 unserious women. Was this a callback to Succession?
Unserious.
Calling the kids you are unserious people?
And could be. I don't know.
Well,
wasn't that obvious if it was.
She wanted to feel inspired when she went to Raw, to NXT. Now she wants to see if Tiffany Stratton inspires her. So out comes Tiffany. And we have a chant of Tiffy time. She congratulates Charlotte coming back. There's no bigger fan of you than me. But then you left. And people got over it. Got over your absence in a minute. Ticket sales went up. Business is better than ever because I was here. And I'm tired of being compared to you. So please pick me so I can beat you so that I'm no longer the next Charlotte Flair, but the one and only Tiffany Stratton. Flair says, when I looked at Rhea Ripley, I saw a kid. But in you, I see a child. And says, if you want me to face you at WrestleMania, get on your knees and beg. Like, that's not how this quite works. And out come Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. And Nia says, well, you're not going to have to worry about Tiffany Stratton. You're going to have to worry about me because instead of going through six people or five other people at the Elimination Chamber, I'm going to go through one because I'm getting a title shot next week. Huh?
She just had one against Rhea Ripley. Yes, it was for the other championship, but like, what exactly? I know there are no rankings. I know, like, nobody actually, like, you know.
We just did a Rumble, and we're doing qualifying matches to get into a match to get a title shot, and she's just getting one. Like, no explanation. No, nothing. None. Kevin Owens was goddamn, you know, this was like a 500-page storytelling in comparison. There was just no reason for this.
Yeah, again, I would have liked to have heard something. Like, did she win a match that got her here?
Wait, this is the first match. This is her first appearance since the Rumble.
Well, I mean, like, did she win a match on SmackDown last week or something to justify this? I think it's kind of weak. You know, it's also, is it just a rematch clause? Is that it?
They had said that we don't do the rematch clause anymore. They've been doing that for years.
When convenient, then we will still do a rematch clause.
I guess. Well, that's what they're doing here. But first up, Alexa Bliss. Again, first of all, I thought Tiffany's promo was very good in this segment. I did like Tiffany.
I thought she was fine, John. Like, what for me though? Like, I would say this was good if she was in NXT. I would say this was good if she was maybe just starting out on the main roster. But when you have the championship, I'm holding you to the standard that I hold everybody else. And I thought she was okay. Like, this whole cluster right now that they set up here between Stratton and Charlotte and Nia. Well, Nia, I guess, is just a TV challenge. But, like, Stratton and Charlotte, this is our first time, at least in this incarnation, seeing a potential WrestleMania match between the two or pairing between the two. And I'm just not really inspired. I'm not really feeling it. For one thing, I think, like, Charlotte, now that she has clear direction of being a heel, yes, she's better than she was as a babyface. But it's almost like she's leaning so far, like, deep into playing heel that it's, like, it's not really that much fun to watch her anymore. It was sort of more fun when you were going against it. And so I would have much preferred more of a subtle, like, I'm retaining my character, like a Cena level, you know, type of, like, heel where, like, you are trying to attract boos, but you're attracting more boos just by being yourself. I feel like she's kind of leaning too much into, like, I'm supposed to be a heel now. And Stratton, I think, is on her way to becoming good, but she still feels like, you know, she's not there yet. And so I'm not that confident in that sort of main event pairing.
Yeah, this is a really weird return week for Charlotte. Like, first of all, we had four appearances this week from the Rumble, Raw, NXT, and SmackDown. They were all different reactions, and I don't know, like, obviously they're going the heel direction, but I don't know. I would not say this has been a seamless comeback where this is really struck you in a big way, like coming back, winning the Rumble, and it feels like any kind of absence makes the heart grow fonder. Like, they have gone right back to almost inviting, like, these dual reactions and kind of, like, not giving you, like, a sense of any change, any evolution to the character. I don't know. It was not a home run week, I would say, for Charlotte. There was some good stuff, but there were also some misses.
This particular era where I think, like, this regime currently is being praised more often than not for, like, you know, their sort of long-term vision with creative, this feels like it's a flip-flop, you know? Like, so we decided on something. We're going to debut her. We're going to have her win the Rumble as a babyface. Then we're going to flip-flop because the audience is reacting a certain way. It just speaks of, like, maybe a lack of foresight or just misjudgment of how the audience will perceive her. And that's something maybe you don't hear as often, but I'm not that into it. Like, I'm personally still more into Charlotte versus Rhea. And for Tiffany, you have a really hot, like, it's not Charlotte who's the hot baby face. It's not going to be Stratton who's the hot baby face. It's Alexa that's going to be the big baby face on SmackDown.
Well, that was next. Alexa Bliss, her first singles match since coming back against Candice LeRae. And Bliss would fire up with strikes as she's getting beaten down. And then the audience gets behind her. She hits a running blockbuster to LeRae. LeRae comes back with a missile dropkick. And then there was, like, this screen-like pixelation. And I'm thinking, was this like some Wyatt signal? They can't do this anymore on Netflix, because I think this is just like a Netflix glitch now after Monday. So I can't take these as being anything but a legit technical error.
I don't know if I even noticed this particular thing.
I don't think it was by design is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I'm just looking it up. Yeah. There are several people that actually also picked this up. So,
okay.
So it seems like there are three glitches. First part during the Candice match, second. Yeah, so they are.
Maybe
continuing.
They're going to explain all the last hour of Raw was the Wyatts are going back to Raw. Maybe that's how they're going to. Yeah, yeah. So this is what came up.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Well, what does that look like to you?
I mean, I have to think it's Wyatt 6 stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. There you have it. I did.
She's on the same show as them, right?
There's an inside cradle battle between the two, and then LeRae gets caught with what is just being called now the Abigail DDT, and Alexa gets the win. Big reaction for her, and she's in the chamber match with Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair.
Somebody's first match back in 2 years. I mean, that has to be, you know, just nerve-wracking, you know, for her. So, I mean, some of these things you don't necessarily see in the end product, but, like, I'm sure for her, just, like, getting through this one was probably a big one. first match back since giving birth, you know, that's something that will totally change your body, just you as a person. So, yep. I mean, not necessarily, you know, a match that we'll be talking about, but the first one back is, I'm sure, a big accomplishment for her.
Saxton is with Green and Niven, and Green will be facing Naomi in a qualifier next week. B-Fab and Meechan come in, and Meechan tells her to stop stalling. Like, stop stalling. How many matches has Green given you by this point? And she's still the champion. I don't know. And so they leave. And then Zelina Vega walks by. She also wants a shot at Green's title, because I guess you can just be given title shots on this show for no reason. So Green tells Niven to get a larger security detail because more and more people hate her. And then we had this video of the Street Profits. Now, listen, I thought this was an overbooked mess on Saturday, but I thought this promo was great from Dawkins and Ford. They talk about the two out of three falls match. They're coming for DIY. Every time we get close, we've gotten screwed every time. And Dawkins says, life's a crutch, as he throws down the crutch. And now you've pissed us off. He mentions all the different teams that break up only to get back together when the grass isn't greener. We've never broken up, and this violence will be televised. God have mercy on your souls, because we want the smoke.
Yeah, but said in a much more menacing way, of course. Yeah.
Thanks. I like this. I thought this was like a really good promo from these two. I think like some of the booking of this tag division is just all over the place. But I like this direction for the Street Profits.
I'm hoping that Dawkins' injury was a blessing in disguise. Weren't they both injured, actually? Like, what was that? What was the story?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Anyway, they're both fine now. But like, I'm hoping that an unintentional layoff has presented a a positive maybe sort of absence, so that we can get to a proper reintroduction to the Street Profits heel character, which since like the days of what did they call them? The Pride? Remember that?
The Pride. Yes.
Since like they teamed with Lashley and the Pride, I feel like their heel characters in that heel turn has been so ill defined. We know they're supposed to be bad guys, but we don't exactly know why they're bad guys, nor like in recent months, especially, I don't even know if they're bad guys, because they're attacking both the heels and baby faces. These sort of segments where they're just out talking about who they are the most important things, I think, for establishing their current characters. They're pissed off, they're pissed off about getting screwed. They just hate everybody. And I think we're ultimately supposed to boo that, but like it at least makes sense in about why, like, they're attacking everybody, and it lets us know exactly what they're fighting for.
And don't forget chains.
Chains too, yeah.
Saxton interviews the Machine Guns. They challenge the Street Profits to come at them. Then Los Garza walk in. They're complaining. Santos enters. He explains why Los Garza is upset with the Profits, but they're also pissed at you. So if you want to fight, let's fight next week. So keep all of that straight. Next week, Tiffany Stratton versus Nia Jax, for some reason, for the women's title. Chelsea Green and Naomi, and then Priest, Jacob Fatu, and Braun Strowman with a video to pump up that match. And then we had Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso against Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga. So they beat down Cody for a long period of time. They put his hip out of alignment further, and finally he makes the hot tag to Jey. And later Cody comes back, hits a Cody cutter. That put the hip back in alignment, actually. And then the crossroads is blocked. Jacob Fatu leaps into the post, and it's Tama with a flatliner, and Cody ends up going to the top. Fatu shoves him down. The Valeno is hit on the Cody, and they beat him 2-on-1 when Jey miraculously returns from the dead, yanks Fatu out, hits him with a suicide dive, and the crossroads is hit onto Tama as Cody manages the win. And Cody is standing tall in the ring when the returning Solo Sikoa comes back, Samoan Spike to Cody. And for all of you that were clamoring for Cody Solo one more time, looks like it's happening.
Yeah. I don't know how many people were like, they say absence, makes the heart grow fonder. I don't know if that's worked out for Solo Sikoa in this case. Like, this reaction tonight was big, but
I would argue that presence has made Jacob Fatu fonder to this crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we have a much more interesting, Solo Sikoa now and Jacob Fatu. So, I mean, I, you know, like for a TV challenge, sure. Like, or maybe even Chamber. Can you see that?
I can absolutely see this because you want to have Cody on that show. And this is kind of looks to be the direction because I don't see Cody doing anything else on that show.
I think they probably need to add an interesting stipulation to it, maybe, to make it a bit more interesting. You know, they have to, I guess, give Solo something right now.
Toronto Tussle.
That's right, the Toronto Tussle. Oh, man, fighting in this weather in March, it's probably going to be still pretty cold here. So, yeah, it would be pretty violent and freezing.
Okay, well.
Try not to slip.
Maybe Solo will enlist Drake in his corner.
Then he'll definitely lose. He might get sued for it, too.
Yeah, that could happen as well. Well, what an edition of SmackDown. The requisite long show, but I mean, we are in this era now.
I think post-Rumble, like now that this transfer window is finally complete, we have a bit more of an established roster. Having the presences of Drew McIntyre and even somebody like an Alexa Bliss, Charlotte on the show, Jay and Cody on the show, certainly up the star power and relevance overall of this show to a much higher level than usual. But yeah, it's still a very long show.
I felt the third, like even star power aside in that third hour between like the main event, like this was a pretty, bare bones match. Yeah, that's what it was. And and then prior to that, I mean, you had the Alexa Bliss match coming back. I mean, it was a match. Drew looked very good on this show in particular. You got some very good promos on this show as well, I thought. I enjoyed the Owens one. I liked the Street Profits promo as well. And like the Drew-LA Knight interplay, I thought was entertaining as well.
Drew is one of the best characters in professional wrestling today, so I think like him being on SmackDown is a huge addition to it. I'm also curious to see where they take Alexa Bliss because she's coming in with just like so much, you know, goodwill, so much positivity from the audience, so much more than I would say anybody in the title picture right now in the women's SmackDown division. So we'll see.
And how you integrate like the Wyatt Six, like I think that's always going to be a tough balancing act to do as well. That, you know, they are probably very, and probably The Miz getting involved in that too, whenever they're ready to reintroduce them. All right. Well, there you go. Those were our thoughts on SmackDown, and we'll open up the phone lines and hear from you.
Yeah, that will be in on the other side of the Post Wrestling Cafe. So those of you who are sticking with us, we'll be there shortly. And those of you that we're going to say goodbye to, we'll talk to you guys later. Thank you for listening. Please like and subscribe.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.